I especially zeroed in on what you said about how you never, ever regret wise choices, but you always regret sinful ones. I really appreciate that, and I'd like to think of that as a transition into this message on wisdom from James. So if you have your Bibles with you, and if you'd like to open them with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, this is a teaching on wisdom. But before we talk about wisdom, I thought we should probably define wisdom. Not all of you probably know what wisdom is, or if you had to define it, I think you probably know what it is, but then if you have to define it, you don't know quite the words to give to that. So pretend you want to build a house. Now, who will you find to build this house? Would you find the person that is the best at math that you can ever meet or think of? Like, you know the people that are really, really good at theoretical math. Would they be able to build the house? Well, I mean, you need good math to build homes. I mean, it's true. But math is not the only thing you need to build a home. Now, when I was working for a builder when I was 15, we got to the point where we were putting on a deck for the family. And because we were building an addition on a house, and this was before we had cordless drills and stuff, so we were like nailing the deck boards on with big decking nails, and I was nailing and he was nailing, and I was counting my hammer strokes and I was counting his hammer strokes, and he kept beating me. And this is a guy that had been doing it for a long time, and I was ambitious and young and prideful and all kinds of great stuff. And I tried to do it in fewer hammer strokes than him. Like if he took one to get it started, two to get it halfway, and three to finish, I tried to do it in two. Just ended up smashing my fingers and bending a lot of nails. You know, but let's say that you got somebody that was really, really good at hammering. Like really good at hammering. Okay, will that person be able to build the house? No. What you need is not just strength and coordination to hammer well, and not just theoretical skills at math. What you need is a wise builder that can translate the theory or the math of the blueprints into the reality of the structure. And that is wisdom. Wisdom is living a great life. Wisdom is the well-lived life in Proverbs. And Proverbs and Ecclesiastes have an awful lot to say about living well. That's why what Hope said, you'll never regret wise decisions. It's true. I mean, that's all through Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Well-lived life requires more than just truth, like building a house requires more than just blueprints. The blueprints are important. Never lose sight of the blueprints. But you need more than that. And it takes more than just living with gusto, right? It takes more than just enthusiasm, because you can have enthusiasm in all kinds of bad directions. I thought it was crazy, the thing that I don't quite often talk about, what they said in the video earlier that we played in the introduction, how he said, you really regret the stuff that you don't do. I think that's crazy. I think we regret stuff that we do too. I mean, we regret all kinds of stuff. So living with gusto is not enough. And just knowing the truth is not enough. This is what godly wisdom. Godly wisdom comes in and helps us live a godly life and points us how to live a godly life. This is what James is writing about when he's writing about godly wisdom. He's talking about living well. And he writes this, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works." Because remember, we saw the arrow there. Wisdom translates into action. It translates into good work. It translates into good conduct when you are living with godly wisdom. "By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." So remember, we're talking about wisdom. But what does wisdom work itself out in? In this really strange word, meekness. I bet you've never heard a graduation speech on YouTube or any other place where they say what you need to do is really be meek. You know what meekness does? Meekness submits. I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and I was telling him about my analogy with a house there and the builder, and he said, you know what the difference is between a good builder and a hack? A good builder keeps going back to the blueprints. A good builder goes over and over and over in blueprints, and when he's done, the structure looks a lot like it was supposed to on the blueprints. A hack just does what he wants. And that has all kinds of consequences for everyone else that comes after him. In life, wisdom starts by saying God is right. Wisdom starts with God has a good plan and God is right, and I will trust him. This is why the Proverbs say in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And then over and over, you see the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. You can't really start down the path of wisdom until you believe that God is right. If you still have in your mind that God might not be right and you might be right, it's like doubting the blueprints. So you'll have to decide. Graduates, whether or not you believe that God is right, whether you think society is right, or your friends are right, or what your heart is telling you is right. Quite often there's a lot of similarity between what society says and what our friends say and what our heart tells us. You'll have to decide if you believe God is right or these other voices are right that Hope mentioned. Of all the voices, listen to God's voice in his word. Wisdom begins with submission to God in his word, saying God is right. And the fear of the Lord is saying there are good consequences for obeying God, and there are really bad consequences for disobeying God. That's why we talk about regrets. Wisdom begins with submission. But if you have bitter jealousy, so now what James will do is he'll talk about a different kind of wisdom, a different path for your life. So the first path is a good path, and it begins with meekness and submission. Meekness, which is submission. The second path is a different kind of path. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, notice both of these are very me-centered. Bitter jealousy is when I see something you have and I want it. And, you know, the longer we grow up, the maybe better we get at hiding it. You know, when you're one or two, you come up and the first word you learn is, or the second word is, mine. You know, like you just try to take stuff all the time. It's bitter jealousy. Why do you want, you know, the toy can be, I've had enough kids now, and you guys probably can verify this. I bet you can, because you've had kids too. And you're like, the toy means nothing to anyone until somebody starts playing with it, and then all the kids want it. Right? It's bitter jealousy. It's just this self-centered nature that's deep within us. And selfish ambition, where we want to be first. I want to be first. I want to be first in line. I want to have my needs met first. I want my way. I want my color. I want my food. I want all mine, right? Just me-centered in your hearts. This is why I say you can't always trust your hearts. I mean, you know what the Bible says about your hearts. They're deceptive and wicked. You can't always trust them. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. So don't pretend that you have wisdom if you don't. And so here's what he's doing. Instead of having the truth for your center, you say, me, I'm the center. Me first is the center. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. James can't even call that wisdom. He calls it something else. It can't even be named, but it's like godless wisdom. So if you start with me first, that will work itself out. It will go someplace, and here's where it ends up. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So think of this. Think of how jealousy works itself out in disorder. When there's two friends and two couples that are friends, and he decides that he wants his wife and they're jealous, or she wants his husband, and it works itself out in this terrible disorder, in this destructive pattern. You can see how this would happen. Or how selfish ambition will work itself out in every vile practice. And so you'd say, because I have to be first, I'll work a smear campaign against them. Because I have to be first and I have to experience all the pleasure, then I'll do these vile things to other people and vile things to myself because I care about me. And James is saying, this is not godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is not selfish. It doesn't work itself out in disorder in every vile practice. It's not the way to the wise and happy life. Godly wisdom is not self-centered. And finally, James says, but wisdom from above is first pure. You know that car up there is pure? You know why I say that? Because it is a pure sports car. There is 0% grocery getter in that car up there. Like, you measure the purity of water by the sense that there's nothing else in this water but water. You measure the purity of gold by saying there's nothing else in this gold but gold. Wisdom from above is first pure because it is completely submitted to God. Because it fears God. Then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Sincere means not a hypocrite. Remember, hypocrites in the ancient world were people that wore masks. They were people that pretended to be someone else. And James is saying, because you fear God, because you trust God, because you love God, and because you know God is taking care of you, you don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to fake it. And notice how he's saying, you don't have to fake it is bookended with you can be pure towards God. So godly wisdom grows up with a harvest of righteousness that is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, what in the world does that mean? Let's talk about grandpa and grandma for a minute. Grandpa and grandma fear God. But believe it or not, grandpa and grandma sometimes fight. At least they used to. They used to have fights. But because they fear God, they find a way to work it out. Because they fear God, they believe that marriage is forever. Marriage is for keeps. And so they figure out how to make this marriage work, and they stay married. And then they pass this on to their kids, who believe that even when things are frustrating and difficult and hard, that they will stay married, and they will figure it out. And they will produce by insisting on peacemaking in their family. They will pass on a harvest of righteousness to their next generation. Because they find a way to figure it out. They find a way to live together. And let me tell you, this is not by being selfish and demanding your way and demanding that you are right and they are wrong. That is not how peace is made. Peace is made by putting the other person first. So here's what we've said about godly wisdom. Godly wisdom submits. Godly wisdom decides that God is right. And if you want a model of what this looks like, you need to look no further than Jesus, who submitted his will to the Father's. Godly wisdom submits. Godly wisdom is not selfish, and if you want to look at what this looks like, look no farther than Jesus, who gave up his life for yours and mine on the cross. And godly wisdom makes peace, not by being selfish, but by being unselfish. And if you want to know what this looks like, look no further than Jesus, who made peace by his blood shed on the cross. I think this is the life that you want. I think you want lives that are characterized by peace, by righteousness. It's kind of like when you go out to Camp Beach Point, and you walk in the main lodge in Camp Beach Point, and you're surrounded by these huge rafters, and you're surrounded by this great craftsmanship, and you're surrounded by this building that is really well made, And you just have this feeling of peace because it was made right and people do things right here. Kind of that sense of peace. I think you want your life to be like that, where it's just, it's right. And you have this sense of peace. You don't get there by being selfish and insisting on your way all the time, right away. That's not the path to peace. And I don't think you want to get 30 or 40 or 50 down the road and years down the road and say, you know, I was a selfish jerk my whole life and I'm so thankful. I don't think that's the life you want. So you want to ruthlessly cut selfishness out of your life. And how do you do that? You do that by knowing that there is a God who loves you, who is watching out for you, who loves you with laying down his life, dying on the cross, love. Who knows the best path for you, which is one of unselfishness and submission and obedience. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for godly wisdom which comes down from above, which is different than the advice we would get from any other source. Lord, I pray you would pull us each closer to you today, closer to your Son Jesus, who is the embodiment of your wisdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.